Mark chapter 4, we're looking this morning again at the sower, the seed, and the soul, a parable that Jesus gave. Parables, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, a physical story with a spiritual meaning. It means to line up beside. It gives a comparison of between physical and spiritual. You can see the picture and understand the story better. But the problem is, as we'll see in a minute, is with those who do not have the Holy Spirit. For the parable does not automatically mean, well, now finally everybody can get it. He's made the message simpler. No. Without the Holy Spirit to enlighten, to inform, to open the eyes, the story or the message is even more confusing. It is as though they're saying, what in the world is he talking about? He did that on purpose. We have looked at already the message expounded in dealing with the sower and the seed. I want to look at the soul this morning, jumping in the middle of the story. He is, in these verses, giving an example of proclaiming the gospel, of sowing seed, of giving out the word, and the result of doing so. The response of those who have heard. Some are glad and receive it quickly. Some ignore it. We'll look at that sometime. But it deals with the sowing of the gospel and the response thereof. In verses 3 through 8, he expounds the parable. In other words, he gives it out. He tells the story. Thank the Lord, later in this chapter, in verses 11 through 20, he not only expounds, but he explains the parable. He tells us what it means. I'm glad that he does. We're in the middle of all that, and dealing with the messages expounded, we have looked at the sower. He is the one that is broadcasting the seed. He is throwing it out. We have not only looked at the sower, but we have looked at the seed. The seed is the Word of God. I dealt with that last week. I want to press on this morning and deal with the soul. This soul shows forth four different responses to the sowing of the seed, or the preaching of the word, or the delivery of the gospel, how people respond. I said last week, this thing of sowing seed specifically deals with sowing the gospel, sharing Christ with lost souls. But it can be applied with sharing the Word of God to anybody. I will bounce back and forth between the two. Here we find the soul. Four different types, should you notice my hesitation? Four different types of soul, but that's really not true. There are four different responses, four different types of response. There are really, in some ways we can look at it, four different types of soul, but they are all dirt. Dirt is dirt. And that makes these four things different is how they have been prepared, how they have been cultivated. Some, as we will see, have not been cultivated at all. Some, they have had great cultivation. Somebody has worked and labored and dug deep and made the soil soft and receptive, but they are still all dirt. The soul, look in verse 4, and it came to pass as he sowed, some, there's the seed, fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Notice, Verse 4 says, some fell by the wayside. Here he is just expounding the parable. I'll try to do the same. He is telling us the story. I'll try to rush through this because I'm heading somewhere. The wayside deals with those paths that are cut through the fields of that day. During Jesus' day, there were very few real roads. So to get from one place to the other, they made paths. And through the middle of the field, these paths would be cut about 3 or 4 feet wide. And of course, because of the traffic, that ground would get hard as a rock. In the sowing of the seed, of course, some of those seeds fell in these paths, this wayside, as Jesus calls it, and lays on that hard ground and just lays there. It is too hard to receive the seed, so it lays there. Then notice he continues by saying, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. These seeds laying on that hard ground that cannot be penetrated is an easy meal to the birds. Birds see the seeds come down and devour it up. We will find that picture later on. In other words, we find here that the birds is an enemy to the farmer. The birds can have and will have an effect on the amount of his harvest. The farmer does not like the birds. Notice in verse 5, and some fell on stony ground. We're talking about the soil. How people received or did not receive the word of God, especially the gospel, when it's preached or proclaimed. And some of the seed fell on stony ground where it was not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth in the earth. The stony ground is not out in the field a bunch of rocks. A farmer would make sure he would go and prepare his field before he ever sowed it. And all these little stones and boulders and rocks that he could carry, he would move out of the field. This stony ground is talking about a sheet of rock, a bed of rock that was laying parallel with the surface of the soil. And this bedrock would go for a good ways through portions of the field, and the wind, of course, would blow dirt upon this rock, and it would be a thin layer of soil to where the seed, when it lands on that soil, it will erupt, it will germinate, and it will start to grow. But because there is no death, it goes to the rock. It brings forth life, but it is short life. That is talking about the stony ground. Then in verse 6, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. This shallow ground that's above the bedrock has enough nutrients in it to where it can start the seed to germinate, and even a plant can start grow, but there's no depth. And when the sun comes out, it scorches the plant and it dies. There is no fruit. I want you to notice now, I'll get ahead of myself, but with 3 out of 4 of these things, there is no fruit, and that is the key to the parable. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another type of soil that Jesus talks about is what he calls the thorny area. Some of those seeds fall out into the edge of the field where there are weeds and thorny plants, and those seeds fall among this area. There's a place where the sower has not cultivated completely off to the side, and some of those seeds fall in these thorny places, and the thorns and the seed grow up together. But if you know anything about weeds, they grow faster than anything in the garden. So in the growing of both of those, the plant and the weed are in competition. And the weed wins. The weed takes the nutrients from the soil that the plants need. That's one problem. But also the weed grows taller than the plants, so it stops the sun that the plant needs to be healthy and to produce, and the plant withers and dies. Another example of something that does not bring forth fruit. Verse 8, and others fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. Here's the good soul. I use the word loosely, the type of soul that has been cultivated. It has been broken up. It has been plowed deep, and it is soft and receptive. It is a picture of an open heart. We will deal with this later. Do not dismay of me not explaining it further. Here is what is called the good soul. It brings forth an abundance. The only difference between this soul and the other souls is the fact that it has been cultivated. It is open to the Word of God. It is receptive. I say by this, and I'll hurry, something has happened to this soul that makes it want to receive the Word, wants to receive the seed, welcomes the seed. That's what we call old-fashioned conviction, by the way. Where an old rotten sinner gets to the point to where they say, please tell me what I need to hear. Oh, please tell me the truth about me, even though it hurts. That is the good soul. I have mentioned the message expounded. Could I mention very quickly, the message is evaluated. Now that may sound strange, but half of what I say is strange, so you shouldn't be surprised. We are talking about a parable that describes someone sharing the gospel, telling the truth. But the emphasis of this parable is this: how people respond, the soul, and how they respond to the seed being sown, the words that are shared, the gospel as it's preached or taught or told. So what we have here is this: someone hears the truth. It has been sown. It has been delivered. And now they are faced with this problem. What will I do with what I've heard? Will I receive it or reject it? Three of these of the four have rejected it. So I want to mention, as Jesus does here, the message evaluated. Look in verse 9. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He says to his disciples and everybody else, including me and you, if you can hear, you better listen. If God in mercy has allowed you to hear the truth, and somehow, some way, you have heard the seed, it has been sown in your heart and ears, if you know at all what it means, you better listen. Oh, you see, even in this point, we find the importance of the Holy Spirit opening eyes. For years, people told me I was doing wrong. For years, my mama fussed at me. For years, people told me, why are you living the way you're living? And I ignored it all. I'd walk off and laugh. But I guarantee you one thing, when the Holy Spirit started opening my eyes, what I heard all of a sudden made a difference. The seed was making root in my heart. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Here are people who are hearing the truth, but what will they do with it? I say that to us this morning. What will we do with the truth that God gives to us even this morning? It is a message that's being evaluated. They are saying, is this what I need? How should I respond to it? What should be my reaction? Jesus said, if you can hear, you better hear. Because that means the Holy Spirit is teaming up with the Word of God and opening your eyes. Look at verse 10. And when he was alone, it means by that the multitudes now have left. And he is alone with his disciples. This is important. And when he was alone, and they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. When the multitude was gone, the disciples got with Jesus and said, what in the world are you talking about? What is the parable of the sower and the seed and the soil? What spiritual significance? It's being evaluated. The message is being analyzed. What do you mean? You are certainly not just talking about a sower sowing seed in a field and that's it. There's got to be a spiritual significance to it. And there was. So they ask, what do you mean? You see, even the disciples, saved people, did not contemplate, did not understand completely. The Holy Spirit must open eyes. Look in verse 11. And he said unto them, unto you it is given, unto believers it is given, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them the lost that are without, all these things are done in parables. He is saying, and this is so important, multitudes who have seen their eyes my miracles, multitudes who have heard their ears my words, have just left. They've walked off. And you 12 who are here, the message is important to you. And Jesus says, in essence, I am giving parables. The disciples said, why are you speaking in parables? And he said, because for them it is not theirs to receive, but for you it is. What in the world does he mean? Here's what he means. Listen to this preacher this morning. He said, they saw my miracles and they heard my words, and their evaluation of it all was, walk off. Leave. Ignore it. They saw, they heard, and they rejected him and his message. And Jesus said, therefore, since they have done that, I will now fix it to where they not only will not hear, I will fix it to where they cannot hear. I will talk to them in riddles. I will talk to them in parables, and they will say, I don't get it. I don't understand. But he says, for you disciples, you have the Holy Spirit who will enlighten you and show you. It tells us the importance of when we hear. Here's why he said, if you got ears to hear, you better listen. Because if we listen, if we hear and we don't listen, he may just say, no more. I'll not speak. I'll speak, but I'll speak in a way where you don't understand it. That's exactly what he's doing. I'm talking about the message is being evaluated. Some have said, we don't want it, thank you. Some said, thank the Lord, they do. Look in verse 12. That seeing they may see, but not perceive. They saw the miracles, but they didn't get it. And hearing they may hear and not understand. They heard his word, but they didn't understand it. Lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven thee. That word lest is one of the biggest little words of the Bible. They didn't see it because they didn't want to see it. They didn't hear because they didn't want to hear. But Jesus said, lest they see and hear. In essence, what he's saying, one thing is this. They said no to the gospel because they did not want to hear what it said. They did not want to admit, I am a sinner. I am wicked. I have a heart that is vile. Had they gotten saved, had they listened to the gospel, had they responded, had they opened their heart like the good soul and received it, they would have had to admit, I am a sinner on the way to hell and I deserve it. They said, no way, I can't take that. I don't think I'm that bad. I don't think I need this message. He said they rejected it lest they had to admit, I'm a sinner. By the way, let me throw this in. In the middle of all the condemnation of this message that Jesus talks about, these lost people, there's still some mercy. He said, I have stopped talking to them. And that is horrible. But I have stopped talking to them for mercy. Because the more they hear of the truth, the more accountable they will be. So in mercy, I have stopped talking to them. If they ain't going to hear, if they have made the decision, if they have evaluated my message and said no, I will in mercy stop speaking in a way to where they understand. That is judgment, but mercy. The message is being evaluated. But let me mention quickly. I have mentioned the message has been expounded and the message is being evaluated. Let me real quick go to where I want to get. The message is explained. Thank the Lord for a place of explanation for Rick Shoemaker because he needs it. Jesus explains the parable in verses 13 through 20. He explains the meaning. Look in verse 13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then shall ye know all parables? He says, if you don't get this one, you ain't going to get the other ones. The Holy Spirit is needed and necessary. Remember when Jesus said, blessed are thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for the Lord, this is my words, the Father, open your eyes to this. Man didn't explain this. And that's what Jesus is saying to these disciples. Blessed are you. Because the Father, the Holy Spirit, is opening up eyes to where you can see. He is explaining. He explains first the sower. That's probably where I'll end today. Verse 14. The sower soweth the word. So we know right here the seed is the word. The sower soweth the word. Notice the first three words. The sower soweth. The seed is sown by the sower. Again, this is Jesus specifically, but any believer who has the word, the seed of God, and them dispersing the word, the gospel to lost people. The message, the parable is being explained. He explains first the sower. The sower soweth the word. Could I mention some things about that sower and I'll be done? Could I mention first the sower needs to be cautious. I know this personally, and we made rows to plant in. You have to watch where you're stepping. If you aren't careful, after you plant the garden and sow the seed or plant the seed, you can stomp all over the seed and make a mess. Can you get it like this? The sower, listen to me, the sower's walk matters. He must be cautious. He cannot stomp through the garden. That's true of rows. It is especially true of broadcasting seed, where seed is everywhere. He goes stomping through the garden. He's going to do more damage than good. And when we are approaching lost people, when we are talking about sharing the gospel, when we are talking about living in a world of lost souls that are headed to hell, our walk matters. We need to be cautious in how we walk through this world, that we do not do more damage than good. For they are watching us, they are listening to us, they are examining our lives. It matters. I'm speaking this morning on a Sunday morning about sowers sowing seed. It is worthy of a service. It is worthy of one message. The sower must be cautious. He must be careful. We need to be careful of how we talk around lost people, how we act around lost people, how we live around lost people, because our stomping through this life can cause damage. And I guarantee you, you step on that place where that seed is planted, it will not come up. There will be no harvest where we stomp. It damages, it ruins the harvest. A sower must be cautious. He has to be careful in how he walks and how he does out in that garden. Now, in the physical world, it doesn't matter. I mean, a farmer could be cheating on his wife, abusing his children, and go out in the garden drunk as a skunk. That ain't going to have one bit of effect of whether seed grows or not. But in the spiritual world, it matters. It does matter how clean our lives are. It does matter how good and godly we are or are not. It does matter what we allow in our lives. You know why? Because of the Lord of the harvest. The Lord of the harvest oversees the sower and the sowing and the seed and the harvest. And the Lord of the harvest, spiritually, will not use unfit vessels. He will not use us. So we need to be cautious in our walk through life and how we deal with lost people. We need to be very cautious. We need to be very careful. I say this, we need to be Christ-like. The sower, he's explaining the parable. He says, a sower soweth the seed or the word. The sower needs to be cautious. I mentioned number two, the sower needs to be concerned. For that farm to be what it needs to be, that sower must look at that farm and that harvest and that crop as more than just a paycheck. There must be something in his heart where he loves the farm. And those seed are more than seed, and that soul is more than soul, and a harvest more than just another dollar, another paycheck. He literally needs to be concerned. He needs to love the farm that is multiplied times true of a spiritual farmer, of a spiritual sower. We need to be concerned. We need to be concerned. We need to be broken. My heart is heavy this morning. For even this morning I failed God. I went by Hardy's this morning about 6 o'clock. And the lady that's there in the checkout, I've handed her tracts before and spoken to her before. And I felt like it wasn't time to do it again. But I drove out of that place, and there was a lady employee and a man standing there. When I drove by, before I could see the man, it was like I'd already gone by him. And that instant, I'm convinced the Lord said, stop and give that man a track. By that time, I was already at the stoplight. I should have gone back and done it. I have no idea if that track would have done anything. I don't know. I don't have any idea, but I know the burden of my heart. We need to be concerned. We need to care, because that man, whoever he is going to heaven or hell. He may be a believer. I don't know. But the people we run into every day, they're eternal souls. The sowing of the seed in the soul deals with more than just sowing seed in soul. It deals with eternal souls. It deals with eternity. It deals with lost friends and neighbors, family people, strangers we meet at Walmart. It deals with people. A sower needs to be concerned. A sower works and labors, there's no doubt about that, but he does it because he longs for a harvest. He's concerned. Could I mention this? A sower needs to be cautious and concerned. A sower needs to be confident. That sower needs to trust the seed. That sower needs to have confidence in the seed that he's sowing. He knows it's good seed. It'll work. It'll bring forth harvest, but he needs to know that. Because if he doesn't, he'll be out there in a couple of days knowing that he sowed a seed right there, and he'll get to scratching around trying to help things out. Thinking, well, I just got to do something. I'll kind of manipulate the soil a little bit. And what he's going to do is make a mess. We as believers, when we're sharing the gospel, we need to be confident in the word of God. The seed has power. The seed will work. That's what happened in your heart if you're saved. This thing, I have seen it. I have dealt with professionals, professional manipulators. I've told you this before. I have gone out with people that witness, and I'm telling you, if I could have prayed for that person just to get us to leave, I would have prayed. I felt sorry for the person we's witnessing to, because I kept pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. And clearly, no conviction anywhere around. That person just wanted a prayer. Just get them to pray. I wonder how many thousands and thousands of prayers have been prayed by lost people just because they wanted to get rid of the person manipulating. Right. Not committed, not trusting the word, the seed. And many of them trust that little prayer that meant nothing. And they think they're going to heaven when they're still on the road to hell. The sower needs to be confident in the seed. And if there's no conviction, don't push it. Right. Don't press it. Don't put pressure on them. Oh, listen, I'm talking about something very spiritual this morning. Let me hurry. I'm talking about the sower. Jesus said the sower went forth to sow. The sower needs to be cautious and concerned and confident. The sower needs to be committed. That sower needs to put it in his mind, I know some of my labor will be in vain. Some of the seed I'm casting out will be rejected. Some will be hard, some will be stony, some will be thorny, some will just say no. But that sower, you know what? The next day he's out doing the same thing because he's committed. And we need to realize as sowers of the word, givers of the gospel, there's going to be a whole lot that say, no thank you. There will be doors slammed. There will be tracks thrown down. There will people be cussed out. We need to realize, though, we need to stay committed to the word, to the seed, because that's the only thing that brings harvest. I remember laughing at Christians who looked at me in my life. They looked at me in disgust. They looked at me in judgment. They looked at me harshly. That did nothing to my heart but made it harder. That commitment to say, I'm going to walk with God, I'm going to share Christ, I'm going to give the gospel. If people accept it or not, that's between them and the Lord. I pray they will. I'll be burdened if they don't, but it's not going to make me stop. It's not going to get me to stop. Every sower gets weary. Every sower wonders if they ever going to listen. Every sower wonders, is there ever going to be a crop? But the sower that's committed keeps sowing. And the more we sow, the more we reap. I could have very easily brushed by this and gone to the next subject. But there's no doubt in my heart this morning the Lord said, this is the subject for this morning. If you're a believer, you're a sower. You are to be a witness with words and works, with lips and life. How we live matter, how we talk matters. We are to share the gospel. We are to be burdened. We are to be concerned. We are to trust God. I ask you this morning, as I ask myself, are you being a good sower? Let's stand together.